RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. It's time for MP on the mic.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Woo! And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. Junkies are on before us. I never shout out the Junkies because they did just exist before me. Like if you, they just exist. They're there. If you're listening to me, you may have been listening to them, and they put on a nice show. They were talking about the return of the HF Festival in DC, the Alternative Rock Festival that got all the big names in the 2000s. Like, I mean, they had, you know, you name them, they were there. Blank, Offspring,
really,
you know, everybody. Fallout Boy's playing like side stages at this thing.
Oh my gosh.
They're bringing it back this year. We're going. You know,
yes, I agree.
We'll get a fan bus together. We'll be up there.
Yeah.
So they announced the return yesterday,
yeah,
on the 930 Club account, and there's a photo montage of the last time it happened. Mm-hmm. And it has a picture of Kurt Loder doing MTV News from the festival. Are you old enough to remember Kurt Loder doing MTV News?
No, I'm not.
No, I am. MTV, like between the music videos and the TRL and the Real World, yeah, and all that, had like a little, like 30 seconds, like, I'm Kurt Loder, here's the news from the, it was like, you know, had the gravitas of a news anchor,
right,
but it was MTV News.
MTV
had like
News,
a globe,
cool,
spinning behind him.
Yeah.
So I had to look. Kurt Loder is 79 years old now.
Oh my gosh.
That happened quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he must have been like maybe in his like 50s when he was doing this.
Yeah, which you don't think, like, yeah, he was the most professional guy at MTV. So it's not like he was like a kid, you know, in like raggy jeans or anything. Mm. But he was the face of MTV News,
yeah,
for a long time. And that was, you know, that was just a thing he did. Like, he'd pop on and give you the music news.
That's cool.
Hey, yeah, we'll trip down memory lane there. Here's the topic. I was talking yesterday. UVA baseball is in the Super Regional this weekend. A chance to go to the 7th College World Series under Coach Brian O'Connor, which is an impressive number. AWOD pointed out, He probably doesn't get as much love as he needs to have coming his way with everything he's managed. Carl Kuhn was the pitching coach there forever. He left to take a head coaching job. He's maintained just incredible stability there, from Ryan Zimmerman to Danny Holtzman to Chris Taylor to everybody they've had recently, and now Jay Wolfolk, what they've done with him, getting him to dominate on the mound. He's unquestionably one of the great coaches in college baseball today. If you're making that short list, he's on it. And I suggested, I don't think he's cracking the list of all-time great UVA coaches yet. So it was interesting. It was Gary Hess, who does the news updates downstairs and is our sports director. I was explaining this to Gary Hess. I said, I'm going to do the Mount Rushmore of UVA sports coaches. So I've got a list here. I believe there are 9 legitimate contenders for the UVA coaching Mount Rushmore. 9 people that you can make an argument that they belong on it. And Gary said, well, yeah, Brian O'Connor's on it, right? I said, well, you got to listen. You got to listen to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, to find out. But no, I don't think Brian O'Connor's on it. I think there are three, and you start with this. UVA's had so much success across so many sports. That's what makes this difficult. We did Virginia Tech athletes a couple months ago. You know, same thing, you know, like Angela Tinscher, great softball player. She's got to be on the list. When you start having that variety of sports, it gets difficult. Now, if you're doing a Tech coaching one, I think it becomes easier, right? It's just a picture. It's just Frank Beamer, and like you have three smaller heads up there as well. Like Bud Foster's probably on it too, if we're being honest. You probably have two football coaches from that era before you even get to the rest of the list the rest of the way. UVA, though, this is a little bit different because it is so hard to compare across sports and across challenges and across what they do. We'll open up the phone lines in a minute. But first, I think there are three people who are, I'm going to go to bat, I'm going to die on the hill, are on the Mount Rushmore of great UVA coaches, of the best of all time. Number one is George Welsh, football coach who got UVA to number one in the nation. You think of, like, if we're measuring everything, he checks every box. Number one, degree of difficulty. Yes, it's football. Number two, interest level. Yeah, it's football. Number three, impact. Number one in the country. You know, all of those things, and represented UVA well while doing it. You know, no major off-the-field issues, things like that. Recruited great athletes who ended up in the NFL. George Welsh, to me, is number one on this list. I'm not signing off. I'm not authorizing a Mount Rushmore that doesn't have George Welsh on it. Number two, Bruce Arena, soccer coach. Bruce Arena is probably the greatest American soccer coach of all time. Has done it all. U.S. national team, a long time in the MLS, but before that had a nearly two-decade run at UVA where he did it all. I mean, the names, Claudio Reyna, Tony Miola, Ben Olsen, John Harkes, all of those became great national team players, went through UVA, coached by Bruce Arena. Of course, he had enormous success there, nearly 300 wins during five national titles. I just don't see any way you can make this list without Bruce Arena on it. So that's number two on my UVA coach Mount Rushmore list. These are the four greatest UVA athletics coaches of all time. Number three, and I'm closer to entertaining argument now, but I'm still not doing it. I think there's three that we've got to have on there. And I think number three is Debbie Ryan. Debbie Ryan was the longtime women's basketball coach. Hall of Famer, Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, three Final Fours, back-to-back-to-back seasons, an incredible winning record. When she was at her peak, those were the must-watch games. UVA against Tennessee, you know, when Old Dominion was cranking, UVA against ODU. What she did for women's basketball, starting in 1983, basically just didn't miss a postseason after that until the end of the ride in 2011. That's an incredible run to do that across eras, across everything that's changed in the world of women's basketball. Debbie Ryan's on the list to me. Now, what's fascinating to me is, you know, we'll dive down the rabbit hole, right? What if, when Debbie Ryan had left, to me, there was only one logical choice to become the next women's basketball coach at UVA. It was Dawn Staley. We've gone into it before on the program. I don't know that it's worth flogging the dead horse at this point. There were people at UVA who didn't want Dawn Staley to be the coach, and she didn't fit the UVA image, which is correct. What's also undeniably correct is she's the best women's basketball coach in the game right now, maybe pro or college. Becky Hammon's obviously got a lot of buzz in Las Vegas, but certainly in college, she's number one, and it's not close. If she had taken the UVA job, if she had built on what Debbie Ryan built, you may have a double women's basketball coach Mount Rushmore at UVA. It's a fascinating what if. We didn't go down that road. We'll never know. But certainly Debbie Ryan, her formative role in Don Staley's career, much like Bruce Arena, right? These are people who didn't just excel at their sport. They set up the next generation to excel as well. In Bruce Arena's case, now you're in the second generation of guys he coached who are now coaching other guys and are on the U.S. national team, and they're making an impact. All right, so I got three people on my UVA coaches' Mount Rushmore. I got George Welsh, Bruce Arena, and Debbie Ryan. Those are my three. I am open to debate on the fourth spot. I'm going to give you the names I've got down here. I texted my guys, David Teal and Mike Barber, who both, you know, Teal has forgotten more about UVA athletics than I've ever known. He said, I agree with you on the three. We disagreed on the fourth. We'll dive into that. Barber cracked a joke about Mike London, which I appreciated. We need that from time to time as well. Tony Bennett has to be in the running. Men's basketball coach, national champion, right? Everything he's done building the program there. All-time winningest men's basketball coach in UVA history as of last year certainly merits very strong consideration. Terry Holland, longtime men's basketball coach before Tony Bennett, arguably laid the foundation for what UVA basketball could be, helped keep UVA basketball relevant for a long time. The names he coached, equally impressive. You know, Ralph Sampson, obviously, at the start of that list, but UVA basketball's had some talent roll through over the years, so I think you can make a case for Terry Holland. That's what Teal did. He said, is there a Tony Bennett if there's not a Terry Holland, right? I respect the argument. I lean towards Tony being, he got the natty, in an era where it's almost impossible to do. It's so hard to win in the NCAA tournament. He's got some blemishes on the resume, too. We're not going to look over that. We're not going to gloss over that. Dom Starja, longtime lacrosse coach, one of the great lacrosse coaches for a long time. He got skeletons in the closet there too. I probably shouldn't even be using that phrase, but you know that's a program that had controversies. I think you score that against him in the Mount Rushmore discussion. You also say when he was coaching lacrosse, there weren't a lot of powerhouses. It was kind of the same teams in that final eight in that mix every year. Maybe the degree of difficulty was a little bit lower. Brian Boland was the UVA tennis coach forever. Basically, they win that thing every year. Very impressive what they've built there. Todd DeSorbo has been the swimming coach for 6 years now at UVA. He's probably too young to make this list. If we do this in a couple years, I think there's a chance that I declare him the pick. Todd DeSorbo, swimming coach. Not that swimming is the most competitive space in the world. Not everybody's doing that. But they have basically landed major Olympians, trained up Olympic medalists, how they've built that program in such a short amount of time. And the coach before him, Mark Bernardino, a couple of coaches before him, 27 ACC titles in 35 years. You know, Kate Douglas right now might be the best collegiate swimmer in America. You know, she's just out of being a collegiate swimmer. She's an Olympic level swimmer. We'll hear from her in the coming weeks as we go to the Olympics. Todd DeSorbo, by the way, I looked this up, makes $145,000 a year. Best swimming coach in America, $145,000 a year. That's a bargain. If you have an athletics department and you want to get good at something, don't pick football. Just decide you're going to be like a swimming powerhouse. Go find a guy. Go make it happen, because you can do it on the cheap for sure. I think there's an argument to be made. It's Brian O'Connor, by the way. Regardless of what happens this year at the Super Regionals, UVA starts the Super Regional Friday night at home. The expansion on that stadium, the interest level has been off the charts. I'm taking Tony Bennett and the Natty. Teal took Terry Holland, and look, I defer to his expertise here for sure. You look at, obviously, the Final Fours, the Regionals, the things of that nature, everything he was able to do, very, very impressive for sure. As a coach, I think Tony Bennett's basically what he's done for college basketball in UVA in this interest level in this era. I don't want to be biased recently. I'm taking him over Brian O'Connor right now, but there's no question Brian O'Connor's been more consistent. I think it's a fascinating debate. So that's my Mount Rushmore of UVA coaches. If you want to weigh in, I'm on Twitter, Michael P. and RVA. You know the phone lines, 833. I started it wrong, 833-804-8255. 800-844-0910. Got to hit the area code first, 833-804-0910. We're happy to take your calls on the issue as well. The Thursday show chugs along. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. We're underway. It's a Thursday. It's MP on the mic. We appreciate you guys making us a part of your summer routine. Lots of good NFL talk between now and training camp. We'll be out in Ashburn early next week. Always excited to spend a little bit of time out there, do some interviews, get to know the players, because we've got a lot of players to get to know this year. Big overhaul of the roster. This will be the team with the most new players of any in the NFL when they kick off the 2024 season later this year. You'll hear that right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I've had two people now text me asking about, and I don't think this is a big story, but I think it's just in my wheelhouse story, this lawsuit about the NFL Sunday ticket package, class action lawsuit, which is getting a lot of attention. So I'm going to put a bookmark on that. I will talk about that in hour number two. For people who are interested in that. The short version is it's not a big deal at all unless it becomes a very big deal, in which case it changes literally everything about how sports are televised. But that's a small slice on the pie chart. It's almost certainly a nothing burger. But we'll talk about that in hour number two. We'll dive into the rest of the NFL world as well. Washington Commanders OTA practice yesterday. Andrew Wiley is an offensive lineman last year. He's been with the Chiefs. He's been in places where they win. He's been in places where they lose, which was here last year. He is astute enough to know what a good environment is and what a bad environment is. He's also been with the Colts, the Browns, the Chargers. He's been a lot of places. I don't think he was particularly inspiring last year. I don't think the offense was particularly inspiring last year in what they did. But he's back, and I think he slots into a regular role on this offense. So he was talking to reporters yesterday after OTA practice about the good vibes going on at Commanders camp. Here is Andrew Wiley yesterday in Ashburn.
Honestly, the locker room energy is great. I mean, practice has been over, you know, for an hour and 15 minutes, and I mean, the locker room's still halfway filled, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there's a lot of guys still kicking it in there, including myself. No one's in a real rush to leave work, so it's kind of, I don't know, it's a weird thing. We got a ping pong table in there now, so a couple tournaments set up. We got some cornhole boards and everything too, got the music going, but honestly, in the locker room, we're sitting by different guys now. We're not necessarily in our position group, so a lot of things have changed, and it's just good vibes in there.
The ping pong table is the barometer of NFL locker rooms. The presence of or lack of a ping pong table tells you whether things are status quo or not status quo. If a team is struggling and they have a ping pong table, it's because it's a distraction and the players aren't thinking about football often enough, so the ping pong table's got to go. If the team has a ping pong table and it's successful, that's because the players are loose, they like each other, they're building community. If a team doesn't have a ping pong table and they're successful, that's because they're focused on football, they got their eye on the job, they know what they're doing. If a team doesn't have a ping pong table and they weren't successful, it's because they're not loose enough. They need to build team camaraderie, they need to get to know each other better, you need to add a ping pong table.
This is a lot. There's a lot of rules here.
What you need to know is, in 32 NFL cities, there is either a ping pong table or not a ping pong table. And if at any point in the season, if at any point in the season there's deemed to be a lack of positive results, the opposite will happen. They will either add or subtract a ping pong table accordingly.
This is wild.
This is wild, and this is true. The ping pong table is the most controversial element of an NFL locker room. It's how you know if things are going well or not. If you walk in each day and things are the same, things are going well enough, the coaching staff doesn't want to mess with it. If the ping pong table has either arrived or departed, your ears need to perk up.
There's something going on.
Something's going on here. So no ping pong table last year. Ron Rivera took it out so they could focus on football.
Mm.
Ping pong table's back this year. Time to get to know each other. Time to have some camaraderie. Whatever you have, if you're losing, you need to have the other one. Mm. And if you're winning, it's because of what you've chosen on the ping pong table issue. Most important decision a coach will make all offseason.
I don't know what to say.
All right, the other part of that, though, was more interesting, I thought. The other part of that was that he said they're not sitting by position group in the locker room anymore. They're sitting with, you know, they're intermingled offense and defense to get to know each other, which I actually have not ever seen in the NFL. I've been in a lot of NFL locker rooms. I covered the league for a decade. I've actually never seen that. We'll have to look and see if Dan Quinn did that. You got Jeremy Chinn. He's the safety. He's next to Jaden Daniels, which is fascinating to me. You intermingling of the team. We'll see what happens. Tressway's a good guy for that, too. Tressway always brought everybody together as well. It's vibe season. We don't have football to talk about yet, so it's vibe season.
It's vibe season.
Happy vibe season.
Happy vibe season.
Also known as bit season. Also known as vibe season. Let's play that Tyler Biadasz clip, too. He is the setter who is brought in to work with Jaden Daniels, veteran NFL center, knows what he's doing. This is a bit of a long clip, but I think this is a lot of validation of the things I have said, other people have said, people in the building have said about Jaden Daniels, and it never hurts to hear that reemphasized. So this is Tyler Biadasz on how he's developing his relationship with Jaden Daniels, and then he'll go into his work ethic as well.
He literally go out in the field and be like, hey, like I want to get like 20 snaps or whatever. Or hey, like I'm going to be in the building. Hey, well, how do you see this? Or how do you see that? And it's that development of like a relationship where it's like, and it's that brotherhood of like, you know, he's coming in fresh out of college. So it's like, it's one of those things where this is the biggest work mode you have to be in, even though it's like, you know, on the OTA side and that you're going into a break coming up, but like it doesn't stop. Like you consistently have to keep working at that crap because it's a relationship that like never ends. And I think like it's one of those things where, you know, each and every day you have to keep putting that time and it can't get monotony. Like it can't, you have to keep going that keeping getting that 1% better every single day mindset. So I think, you know, and he's doing a great job on his end. I think, you know, he's one of the first in the building every single day. So I think he's doing a hell of a job. You know, doing extra walkthroughs with Cliff in the morning, and you know he's just always in the film room. So I think he's doing a great job and putting himself in the best position to be successful.
I think that's a lot of what we've said here, and you know, there's me talking, and yeah, I'm glad you listen to me. I'm glad you choose to make me part of your morning. But then there's like the guy who's with him every day saying it as well. And when you hear it there, it's got a little more oomph behind it, a little more authority behind it. Tyler Biadasz, he's the center. He's worked with a lot of quarterbacks. He knows winning habits. He said, look, Jaden's the first guy in. He's the last guy out every day. It doesn't guarantee you success in the NFL. We always have to say that, right? You always have to emphasize that. Just because he's working hard doesn't mean the Commanders will win. Doesn't mean he's the guy. But it means he's doing everything possible to ensure that he can be the guy. And I think you hear that from the teammates. You see the respect they've got for him immediately out of the gate. Everything is trending very positively for Jaden Daniels as a leader, as a quarterback, as a guy who's going to do the things he wants to do and needs to do to take control of this team and to be a leader of this team. And you love to see that. We'll be up there. We'll get a chance to watch him next week at minicamp for a couple days. The other news yesterday, they're finally tearing out the turf field down there at Ashburn at Commanders Park. They have four fields to practice on. Three of them are grass. One of them is like the original edition of AstroTurf, where it's basically just like concrete and they painted it lime green. Mitch Tischler, who we had on the show yesterday, grab the Odyssey amp if you missed it, said he was told it's going to cost $1.5 million to replace that field with an actual grass field, which is healthier for the players. And again, just a tangible sign they're moving things in the right direction, that things are moving forward in Ashburn, that the new ownership group is willing to put its money where its mouth is, so to speak. When we come back, Marlon the intern will make his debut on this program. He'll preview the NBA Finals for us. Here's the beauty of this appearance, Megan. He can say whatever he wants, because I don't know NBA. I'm not an NBA expert. And so if he wants to just pull one over, that would be the ultimate power play intern bit. To outbid the bitster. It's available. It's an option. We'll see what happens. You never know. It's live radio. Back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. So I'm explaining to the crew what a soft-shell crab is, because yesterday, Awad and I off-air were talking about that. We both agreed, not our favorite, the soft-shell crab, but it's a delicacy. You know, this is... People wait all year for soft shell crab season.
Apparently.
But when the crab like leaves its shell to go make a new shell, whatever that process looks like.
Yeah.
If you catch the crab before the new shell, that's a soft shell crab.
I feel so bad.
You just put it on a sandwich, you eat the whole thing.
Oh.
The eyes, the head, the whole shebang.
Ew.
The whole thing. You don't pick the meat out. You just eat the whole thing.
I don't like that.
It's unsettling.
Yeah.
All food, if you think about it long enough, gets unsettling. But the crunchiness, you know, kind of that crunchiness, you can't avoid it. You can eat a hamburger and not think about the cow. It's hard to eat a soft shell crab and not think about the crab.
Especially when it's got everything to it. It
the hasn't, thing. You the know. Thing. Marlon, did you want to weigh in on the soft shell crab issue? Do we have Marlon turned on here?
We do.
All right, good.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was nodding at you. I wasn't trying to like push you if you didn't have anything.
We're all learning here. We're all learning here.
No, I was talking to my friend about how like we're so far away from the food making process now.
Yeah.
The cow gets killed.
Yeah.
We don't ever see it. Yeah. I grew up in Kansas. I grew up down the street from a grass farm.
Really?
That's not a euphemism.
Grass farm?
Grass farm.
Okay, what is that?
It's not a euphemism.
Uh-huh.
They grew
sure,
grass, sod. Okay. Cut it, rolled it up, trucked it to, you know, somewhere and rolled it out.
Yeah.
Kaboom. They got a nice lawn.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, you love a nice lawn. It's got to get grown somewhere. Yeah. You know, like that.
Kansas grown in...
Just... Good old Kansas, absolutely. So the food chain is alive and well. Don't worry, we're tending to it.
Yeah.
We're staying on. I love a big crab leg. You know, crack it, get the meat out of it. Like especially down at the beach, get a little shrimp, a little crab, put it on some newspaper. When the newspaper goes away, that'll be a main concern. How are we going to eat our seafood feasts out at the beach if we can't lay out newspaper on top of it? These are big issues of our time.
I agree.
That's the biggest issue with the newspaper.
That's it.
Going down.
Exactly. That's number one. All right. Fox News conducted a survey of 800 employers, and they asked during interviews with college graduates, have they done any of these things? Right. So 53% say that college kids struggle with eye contact. Okay, sure.
Like, as I look away right then.
Yeah. I struggle with eye contact. No, but I'm not clowning on the kids for struggling.
Now I'm insecure. I'm trying to do better.
Don't stare at them too hard.
Yeah. 50% say they ask for unreasonable compensation. Okay. That's the employer's perspective, right?
Yeah.
Who's to say what's reasonable and unreasonable?
Mm-hmm.
I say the people should say what's reasonable, not the employers.
I think so.
Absolutely. I still got the kids back here.
Yep.
Okay? Number three, 47% say dressed inappropriately.
Mm.
College job applicants.
Some, yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
27% of employers say they've had an interview with a recent college graduate where they have used inappropriate language in the interview.
I definitely see that. Yeah.
I try to read the room, read the situation, like chameleon it a bit, I guess. Like if the person is cursing, like I feel like that kind of empowers you. Like, oh, that's the kind of conversation we're having here.
That's what I do.
If they've got to initiate though.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm never going into a job interview like.
Just drop that.
Man, I really want this effing job, you know? I'm going to kick some butt at this job. I can't imagine just going in that hot.
No,
because that's like when I first got hired here. And like, you know, of course, like I come, my first job was at a Christian school. And so
probably
like,
don't curse during that. No.
Yeah. And so when I came in here and I was thinking, okay, professional, be professional. You can't say a curse word. And then someone said the F word and I'm like, okay, so we're allowed. That's just chill. Not on air.
It's weird because... a lot of cursing happens in this building.
Yeah.
For sure.
That was a shocker to me.
But no cursing happens on the air.
Yeah.
That's a fireable offense.
Yes.
In the
yes.
hallway, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yep. Once you come through these doors and the light's on, mm-hmm. you better not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get those beeps, got to get that button. I am proud to say, we're at what, month 10 of this program. Mm-hmm. Still haven't used the 7-second dump button.
Yeah.
Yeah, still riding undefeated on that.
It's a record.
Now, before, a long time ago, Wes McElroy was the host here, mm-hmm. and he did the morning show, 6 to 10 a.m. I would fill in for him when he was on vacation.
Okay.
So,
that's cool.
Like 10 years ago, I'd do the show. Ooh. And one time, I'm doing the show, the producer's sitting right there where you are,
mm-hmm.
On their phone. He's on his phone. He's not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't care. But I said something that I guess he thought was the S word.
Mm.
Like, I said bit or something.
Yeah.
But he wasn't totally dialed in. He like perked up, jumped on the board, and smacked the dump button, the 7-second dump button. And I looked. What happened? And he said, you can't say that. I said, what? And he said, what you just said. And so I kind of like tentatively repeated it back. And he goes, oh, I thought you said something different. during job interviews, employers say that recent college graduates, 21%, refused to turn on their camera during a virtual interview.
Respect.
He said, I see no problem with that.
No problem.
To me, the red flag is we're still doing virtual interviews.
Fair,
I don't want to work at an all-virtual place.
Yeah.
I know somebody's out there listening at home, and they're loving their hybrid life or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta see people.
I
cannot spend all day at home staring at a screen. I can't do it.
I need to get out of the house.
19% of employers say that they've had an interview with a recent college graduate for a job where they have brought their parent to the interview.
Excuse me?
We've gone all the way to the other side now. We're on the employer's side again here. They've brought their parent to the interview.
What?
I would love to unwind the thought process that goes into that one.
I think I know the thought process, but still, why?
I don't think I know. What?
Well, what's the problem?
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like being like super anxious and stuff.
And it's a security blanket thing.
Security blanket. And, they went through, this is a lot of the college graduates and high school graduates from COVID and stuff. And so they're more used to being in their shell and not as, the social skills, putting yourself out there. I feel like it's an anxiety thing.
Are they going to come with you to work every day too?
Yeah, right.
No, because you're not going to get. No, because you're not going to get the job. But.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's the wild one.
Yeah,
to me.
And I get getting nervous. It's a very nerve wracking thing. But...
Sure, but you have to do it. That's
do
life.
It,
sometimes you got to do it.
Yeah.
Don't bring your parent to the job interview.
Yeah.
They can wait in the car outside.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's fine.
You need to call them after. Call them after.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would do that.
I'm not anti-parent, just to be clear. I don't want anybody putting words in my mouth.
No,
your
we're
MP,
not.
MP went on a rant about parents yesterday. Can't stand them. we've got the UVA coaching Mount Rushmore, four greatest coaches in UVA athletics history. I don't know how we're going to decide this uncontentiously. I guess that's what the phone lines are for. We'll open them up in the next segment. You're listening to the Thursday edition of MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the Mic on Sports Radio, 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the Mic. Look, this is a developing story this morning that I think is going to have a lot of implications all the way on down the line. Dan Hurley is now, I guess you'd say, in the driver's seat to maybe potentially be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, UConn coach, who he'd been, everybody threw money at him this year, right? Kentucky, all the college programs. He's staying at UConn. Now the Lakers are coming for him. This after the report last week that J.J. Redick would take the job at with the Lakers and would become the coach of the Lakers. Now, this changes everything in two leagues, right? If Dan Hurley takes a job with the Lakers, he becomes the most fascinating coach in basketball. He's coaching LeBron. He's had such success at the college level. But also college basketball now is kind of up for grabs again. There's no front runner, you'd say, to become the college basketball top coach each year, the way Dan Hurley has dominated it the last couple of years. So on the night where the NBA Finals begin, we're talking about who's coaching the Lakers. Now, this is Gino Auriemma. He's the Connecticut women's basketball coach. You know, if you're doing your UConn Mount Rushmore of coaches, yes, Gino's on it. He's got a big profile on the Mount Rushmore. He and everybody else is kind of coming to grips with what college basketball is going to be over the next few years. And he was on the Dan Patrick Show. This is Gino speculating on why there would be interest in for Dan Hurley. You've got everything you want. You're dominating college basketball. Why he would want to leave for the NBA. And this won't stun you because we say this a lot on the show. He cites NIL. He cites all these things. This is Gino Auriemma on potentially Dan Hurley leaving to coach the Lakers.
It's a charade. It's this idea of student athlete welfare. Every single thing that comes out of the NCAA's mouth about student athlete welfare, mental, it's bullshit. That has no factor ever anymore. And I never want to hear anybody utter those words associated with college basketball. They are professional athletes, just not called that. So you might as well go coach professional athletes where it's real. Now, if Danny were to leave and somebody said to me, you know, he just took this NBA job, I won't name any particular city, I would say, you know, you're set up for failure. But it's the Lakers. And if I don't know the details of it, but if you're saying, hey, I want a 10-year deal, I want the same deal Brad Stevens got at Boston. Well, then you know what? Andrea's wife might not like me, but it's crazy if he doesn't take it.
He's crazy if he doesn't take it. One, you're going to say that, and I don't know that you're going to be loved on your own campus today. You're advising the UConn men's basketball coach to leave to go coach the Lakers. You're the UConn women's basketball coach. I don't know that that's going to play well up in stores on campus there. You got Gino telling Dan Hurley he's got to go. He can win championships with the Lakers. I don't know where college sports is headed. I don't know that anybody knows where college sports is headed. I think the high-level points that Gino made are, of course, 100% correct, and we talk about them all the time on this program. It is a charade. They are not amateurs anymore. They are not there to go to school anymore. They're there to make money now, and I don't know the numbers, but I know the numbers at some schools, and for UConn, which fields a championship caliber team every year under Dan Hurley, it would not surprise me a little tiny bit if their annual budget to spend on players is not $2 million or more every year on basketball players. And if you're talking about that being concentrated among five or six players, right, you're coaching some $500,000 a year basketball players if you're Dan Hurley at UConn. Now, LeBron makes $40 million a year, or whatever it is he makes. So that's still an order of magnitude higher than $500,000, but the considerations are largely the same. And in the NBA, things have stabilized more in terms of team stability and keeping guys where they are. We don't quite have that same Wild West thing where you've got to re-recruit everybody out of the portal every year. You've got to build a new team every year from scratch. I get wanting to avoid the headaches. That said, Hurley's the best one doing it in the game right now. We've had two March Madness tournaments in a row where he steamrolled the field in a tournament that is designed to not allow you to steamroll the field. The design of that tournament, throw 68 teams in a pile, let them fight it out. One game, 40 minutes, somebody moves on, somebody goes home. It's not double elimination. It's not round robin. You're in a different city. You're in a different environment. You're playing with a different basketball. You're playing on different nets, on different courts. Everything about that's designed to create a level of randomness that we love. It's the best sporting weeks of the year when you watch all those games. But also, the fact that he has beaten March Madness tells you that he could do this for a while if he wants to. Back-to-back natties, I think he could, it's not that he could take a run at John Wooden's numbers, but he could put up numbers where we could come on the radio and have a debate in good faith are his numbers more impressive than John Wooden's numbers, right? If he continued on his trajectory, if he continues winning titles, if he continues developing NBA players and guys who go on to succeed at the next level. That's a lot to leave for the uncertainty. Now, this isn't without precedent, of course. You've had college coaches go to the pros before and vice versa. You know, Nick Saban to the NFL get mentioned every time we do this, right? You know, he flamed out in the NFL. He came back to the college world. Urban Meyer came up to the Jaguars, came back. You know, you've got lots of guys who want to make that leap. Billy Donovan at Florida made the leap. But for every one of those, you've got a Brad Stevens who made the leap seamlessly. And now he's made a second leap into what he's doing in assembling all-star rosters. So I'm intrigued by the possibilities. You talk about, you know, we played the clip yesterday, Paul Pierce talking about how, oh, there's hiring J.J. Redick to be a show so that there's still eyeballs on the Lakers so they can get their national TV games. I think Dan Hurley would be more of a show, arguably. I think watching him engage and adjust to the NBA level would be the more intriguing show, because he was so good and so proven at the college level. I also think, you know, this Lakers team is a lot closer than they often get credit for, and was a lot closer last year. You look at how good Denver was, and the Lakers pushed them. And I think if you can get one more good piece to that, and if you can solidify the coaching, I don't think it's unreasonable the Lakers can be in the discussion late, you know, into late May and into June next year. I don't think that's a reach. For college basketball, though, you lose Kay, you lose Roy, you lose Boeheim. I thought the Jay Wright exit was probably the one that stung the most, right? Because he still had some years left in him. Kay and Roy were old when they retired, not just by coaching standards, but by, you know, human standards. So it was not unreasonable that they would want to retire, want to spend time with their grandkids, would want to get out of it. Jay Wright had some years left in him. Jay Wright still had productive coaching seasons left in him. If you lose Dan Hurley now to the NBA, it's got to be a wake-up call for college basketball. And you got to do something to stabilize this situation. And I've given out my solution many times. You can you're not putting the NIL genie back in the bottle. It's out. But you can make the kids sign contracts, long-term contracts. Make them commit. If they want the NIL money, commit for 3 years. Commit to 4 years. You know, have buyouts to get out if you need outs. That's what the pros do. If you sign a 3-year contract in the NFL and you're really good that year, you don't get to say, I'd like to go play on a new team for more money next year. You signed a 3-year contract. Bring that to college sports. To Gino's point, if we want to treat these guys like professionals, you know, that's a professional sort of thing. That's not an unreasonable ask to do. Speaking of the pros, haven't dove into the NFL too much today. Let's make time for that on the way back. We're talking about this Sunday ticket lawsuit. Also, there's Cowboys contract drama. That's an evergreen right there. That's a show that we could air any day of the year, 365 days of the year. But we're going to do it today, and we're going to do it live. That's how much we care about you, the listener. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I love a good subplot, not that we need one, because I think Dan Hurley going to coach the Lakers is generates its own juice and heat and all the thoughts on that and everything it means for college basketball. But I love this subplot. There are two NBA reporters. There are more than two, but for all practical purposes, there are only two NBA reporters that ever break any news. Shams and Woj. Shams Charania and Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN. Shams works for The Athletic. Also like FanDuel, I don't know. He does a lot of things. But those two go, like, they have a legit rivalry over who is going to break an NBA story. And agents will tell you, like, they have to be careful in how they manage those relationships because they want both of them to say nice things about their people. But they, you know, they only say nice things about your people if you're giving them the news and not the other guy the news, right? So you got a lot to navigate. So Shams was the one a couple days ago who said J.J. Redick's, you know, in line to be the next coach of the Lakers, which was a bombshell report. Big win for Shams, right? And the Shams versus Woj universe It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but with two people who just report on college basketball on Twitter. Yeah, kind of the same. Okay, same thing, really.
Yeah.
You know, the budget's less. It's not. There are not as many explosion effects.
It's fine.
The feelings are every bit as intense, though. I promise you that. So big get for him to get that over Woj. But Woj knows, right?
Okay.
That it's actually Dan Hurley.
Oh.
Because that was his thing today. So he puts out today it's going to be Dan Hurley. Oh. It's not going to be JJ Redick. Oh, the reversal,
the
like, oh, you know, play your wrestling clip right there. Shams lives in L.A. The Lakers are in L.A.
Yeah.
That's Pacific time, by the way. So Woj put out his thing this morning that it's Dan Hurley at 7 a.m. East Coast time, which is 4 a.m. in L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
So the people online are saying he couldn't have learned that information at 4 a.m. L.A. time. They couldn't have told him, like, no, this will be our coach at 4 in the morning.
No.
Unless it was like an all-nighter. Most likely, he knew that when he went to bed last night.
And just sat on it.
And sat on it until Shams was asleep and the West Coast was asleep.
Oh.
So that he could flex on it.
That's funny.
Oh, that's good beef right there.
That's good.
That's high quality beef.
This is like the Kendrick and the Drake beef again, but the sports version.
Well, and we've got a clear winner here too.
Uh-huh.
Today at least.
Mm-hmm.
There will be another round tomorrow. There will be more scoops to chase.
Well, now I'm sad I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I was already sad. Now I'm sadder.
I mean, you got food though today. We broke the cycle. Megan has essentially anytime Megan's not in the building. There's food in the building.
Someone has it out for me.
My wife sent me in with chocolate chip cookies yesterday. No, just for the office.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my gosh, it's the one day this week Megan's not here. So I held one back.
Which meant the world. I texted my mom. I was like, MP brought me brownies. And she's like, yeah, see, I told you I liked him.
it's the most emotional MP on the mic. We've had in years.
It's very good brownie, by the way. Like, I legit want the recipe. Please text me that.
Absolutely. The key is, they're called blondies. It's like a chocolate chip cookie in brownie form. It's a flaky salt.
It's so good.
A special salt.
And I think it tastes like brown sugar or something in there.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's bad for you. It's in there. I know that much. The NFL has a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit on its hands. It's going to trial this week over the NFL Sunday Ticket. That's where you can pay $400 and watch all the football games every year. And, you know, this product has existed for a long time, and DirecTV had it, and now YouTube TV has it. What's fascinating is, you know, there's a $21 billion class action lawsuit of people who have bought it. These things never go to trial, right? You know, you ever get like the mailers like, did you buy NFL Sunday Ticket? Like, you could be entitled to $3.12 from the NFL, you know, fill out, become part of the claim group, or, you know, whatever, submit your name. They mail everybody a check for $3. We never hear about this again. That's because when you go to trial and there's a jury, you got 12 people sitting in a box, there's an element of unpredictability to a jury trial, right? And corporations hate unpredictability. They would much rather just cut a check for $3 to everybody than go to trial. So this is a class action, and they're contending that the Sunday Ticket package violates federal antitrust law. So the antitrust law is, you know, you can't collude to set the prices on things. In this case, they're saying, if you want Sunday Ticket, you have to buy all the NFL games. You can't just buy your favorite team's game or one week of games. And they're saying all 32 NFL teams are their own corporations, which is true. And so the 32 teams should be allowed or required to sell their own games as their own TV package. So if you're a Browns fan, God bless you, you don't have to buy Minnesota Vikings games. The reason the NFL's taking this all the way to trial is if they were to lose or even admit any level of guilt here, that changes quite literally everything about how we watch, consume, and merchandise sports. Think about Fanatics makes the jerseys for all the teams, right? The Big Ten Network. If you like Michigan, you got to buy the whole Big Ten Network. You can't just say I don't want Purdue's games. So they're defending this. Almost all the legal experts say the NFL will win this lawsuit. The two dangerous things are, one, they might call Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones, all these people to testify in court, and if they're under oath, they have to tell the truth, and they may say things that, you know, the NFL doesn't want people to hear. They present a very happy image. They're actually ruthless business people. Number two is, maybe the jury does something crazy, and if they do, all of a sudden now you've got a ruling in court that says the way television sports is broadcast is illegal. I don't think that'll happen. Most people don't think that'll happen, but it is fascinating. They have to take this gamble of taking it to trial because they can't risk even just saying let's settle, because then every viewer who's ever watched sports or paid for sports in any way is coming running and saying, where's my money? Where's my money? What's going on here? We'll follow that. We'll let you know how that goes. The consensus is the NFL is going to win, which is not a big deal. But the other, it's a small percentage, but the other way is a big deal for sure. Other sports business and broadcasting story, they announced the schedule for this year's college football playoff. This is the first 12-team college football playoff, and they'll play the first round on campus sites. Then everything else will be folded into the bowl structure. I think they got three of the four rounds right, which is about as good as you can do as we look ahead to this, because it's December 21st, that Saturday. They're going to play the first round games on campus sites, which is absolutely the best way to do that. That's an NFL Saturday. The NFL loaded up with big games that day. They got Steelers Ravens that day, all sorts of stuff Chiefs Texans that day. That will eat into the audience. But doing it on campus sites on a Saturday in December, excellent decision. The quarterfinals are on New Year's Day and are at the bowl games. The Rose Bowl will be a quarterfinal every year. That's perfect. People love that. People love New Year's Day football. The national championship game will now be on January 20th. That's a Monday night. You can play a natty whenever. People will watch it. People love natties. The semifinals is the tricky one, right? Because you got between New Year's Day and January 20th, you got to play an additional two games. They're going to play those in Miami and Dallas. They're going to call them the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, on a Thursday night, January 9th, and Friday night, January 10th. And I think these are going to be the flops, because fans aren't going to travel unless you get a local team. Like if you get Texas playing at, in Dallas, that could save this. But even a Bama fan's not going to travel to Miami because they're going to wait for the national title game. You don't want to pay to see your team in a playoff game if they're going to be playing another game the next week. Saw that in Baltimore this year. The ticket prices were low for the divisional round because everybody wanted to go to the AFC championship game. That's where the ticket prices were high. I will be curious. I think those semis are going to have to be moved back to campus sites eventually. I just don't think you can sustain asking college football fans to travel to three different cities in the span of 4 weeks to watch their team continue to play. You're always going to be fine at the Rose Bowl. You're always going to be fine with the Natty. But that middle round, the semifinal round, I think is the one that's going to present issues. All right, Thursday's show almost in the books. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. He's noon to 3. We'll crosstalk with him next. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.